Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, April 22nd, and it's 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Czarnecki. It's been a little while since we had Talk on the Rock, probably a few weeks, but we're back. So with us today, we have Wrangell's Park and Rec Director Lucy Robinson. She's going to talk with us about what to expect this season, and that also includes the Adopt a Garden program. You can call in to ask a question or leave a comment. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, Lucy. How are you?
Hi, Colette. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. Yeah, good to see you again.
It's great to see you.
Thanks. So this past Saturday, let's just start a little bit before. This past Saturday was the Garden Work Bed Party.
Yeah, it was actually last Friday, and we hosted it on a weekday only because it helped us, Parks and Rec crew, that is, get everything together during our work week versus having our staff on board for overtime duties on Saturday. And I also, think it's important to make sure that we're kind of maintaining and able to provide service to people during the week so that I'm not having our facility maintenance crew or anybody really work, 5 days a week plus a Saturday every Saturday.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of things going on at Parks and Rec. So we try to limit that. So we decided to most of the folks that help are retired, Alaskans or Wrangellites, and which is fantastic. We love them. And they were able to make that work in their schedule. Now that does limit the amount of people that, can participate in that specific work party, but it doesn't limit anybody from giving me a call and saying, hey, can I hop on a bed or can I help out in some way, shape or form on the weekend or after work when it works for them?
Cool. How did it go?
It went really well. We started at 10 and I think we were actually wrapped up about 1:30 p.m. We've done this a couple of years in a row. So we kind of weeded through things that were unnecessary. I don't want anybody there, whether they're volunteers or paid, to be there in unnecessary amount of time. And so we made it a little bit more efficient this year. We showed up, we gathered, there was a volunteer list that folks could sign up so I could capture, how many volunteers were there and how many hours they worked, and just get a little bit of information from them. And we had some snacks, and Parks and Recreation provided tools, buckets, garbage. And then they also, Lane Fitzgerald brought down bark from, we purchased some bark locally and some soil. And so we had, 10 bags of each lined up. So anybody who needed bark or soil for the beds could come grab it or we could drop it off to them. So anyone who showed up that didn't have tools or supplies had access to the Parks and Recreation supplies and equipment. And then Lane and I just cruised around helping folks dump, any weeds or debris or whatever needed to be dumped. We just dumped it in the back of the truck and drove around for a couple of hours from bed to bed to see who we could help and how we could help. And then we helped everyone pack up, sweep, shovel mud and dirt. So we kind of cleaned up the outer perimeter of the bump outs too. I know the city public works will get out there and do some really deep street cleaning, but we kind of tidied those spaces up too. So hopefully it looks nice.
It does look nice.
Yeah.
How many volunteers and how many beds are there?
Oh goodness. I know I just was shaming myself because I don't have all this information because I didn't bring it over. I left a paper back at work.
It's all good.
I do believe there are about 12 beds and it's there's a lot. There's we also added to with some planters, and we even kind of carved out an additional little bed area, which is in between like the Angermans and the Stikine Inn. There's a little walk there, a crosswalk, and so we kind of created a more presentable space. Last year, Bonnie Demersion and Lori Bauer and I think Nancy Del Perro really worked on that area. So we're going to add possibly a planter box to that. We added two planter boxes to the bench area, which is near the new bathrooms down by 56 North. Mm-hmm. So there's even more things that have been added, which can be great, but also it's more work. So we just have to be careful about how much we bite off.
Yeah, definitely.
In terms of the, I can give a quick shout out to the volunteers, if that's possible.
Yeah.
We have Georgia Selfridge. We have the Episcopal Church Group, which was typically it's comprised of Sarah Scambler, who was out on vacation this year, but she usually helps out. Bonnie Demersion, as well as Jenny Helgeson, and Alice Rooney helps out. And then we had the Alaska Vistas Group, which is Janet Strom and Denny Strom, and then Sylvia Edifah popped in this time around and helped out also. And then we've got Nancy Del Perro, as well as Lori Bauer, working on the one just outside of the dentist office. Diane O'Brien works on the one outside the Wrangell Sentinel and the Salt and Cedar shop that Robin Bird owns. And then we have, oh goodness, who else? We've got the Sweet Tide bed that Shauna Buness had helped us with last year. I think Georgia Selfridge is taking that on. So we had quite the group.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I was assuming it was a Saturday, but
yeah, no, it's okay. It usually is. And we just kind of took a look at our staff and what we'd been doing. We had a dance recital this last Saturday that we were going to be responsible for. And there's just been a lot. And then with the Sprint Triathlon that's coming up, and you take a look, you kind of get a global approach and you say, okay, how many weekends have we been working throughout the year? And we try to manage that in a respectful way, especially to our staff who are working really hard anyway. And then they've got families. So we try to make sure that we're not pushing them too hard. So, so we did it on a Friday, and I do recognize that that does not give everyone the opportunity to help out. So again, if there's anybody that wants to help, we have options, and we can support in many ways. They can come up and grab tools. We can talk about just supporting from a distance. They can go down on their own and weed beds. I will say, don't just tap into any bed, because people, you know, they adopt those beds and they become garden parents. And so if you are interested in helping out, please give me a call first and we'll put you on a bed that isn't being parented as much.
Yeah, that sounds great. I noticed, you know, like the bed, at least last year, in front of Salt and Cedar, there's a little rock.
Yeah, like, and that's got some really cool pop-ups coming, and the kids are going to be, creative forces coming, and it's got the rocks will be painted by the elementary school art class, or the elementary school students, and they're going to do an art project, and Georgia Selfridge is working with the kids, and they're going to paint some rocks, and she'll lay those out. So it'll be pretty cute.
Awesome. So this weekend, you mentioned the Sprint Triathlon. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Sprint Triathlon is, I think, a accessible challenge, physical challenge for people. You know, in the past, Nick Howell has done a fantastic job at running the Tongass Tough Man. And I know he's, you know, wrapped up and pursuing other things right now and not on the island. So I don't think that's happening this year. It could be, but I'm not sure that it is. And so we just wanted to offer maybe a common man's or a reasonable approach to, like, some sort of, you know, opportunity for a normal human being to pursue and train for and get used to, like, the brick style training, which is adding, you know, a swim and a bike in the same day, a swim, bike, and a run in the same day consecutively, which is hard, actually much harder than people anticipate. So we thought the sprint distances would be reasonable, and the sprint distances are, you start out with the swim, and we're going to do a pool swim versus the ocean swim. And the pool swim distance is 17 laps. Each lap is 50 yards. So put that together. Do the math, someone, not me. And then we go into a bike, which is 12 miles. And that route is, I do believe it's the loop. And then we head out Zamovia and back. And then they come back to the pool. And then the run is about 3.1. I think it's a 5K. And so it's up and over Mount Dewey. So you hit the summit and then you go down the backside where the new extension trail is, and you pop over to Spur Road, and then you hit that Ishiyama trail extension that heads into the nature trail, and you rally a loop around the nature trail and head back to the community center pool area.
Cool. So, yeah. What time does it start?
Well, that is the question of the day. Devin has created we have to do it in sections or waves. So, because we only have five lanes, in the pool, and we're not going to put two people in a lane just because people are going to be going at it as fast they can. We don't want people to have to pay attention. We've got a lot happening on that day, so we're putting all the parents in the first wave, which starts at 7 a.m. And I don't know who exactly is in there, but we wanted to get the parents in there, the parents that are participating, because they have the Little League ceremonies taking place that day. And so if we start at 7 and get people through, likely they'll be able to wrap up and hit the ceremony as well.
Yeah.
So everything that's Wrangell is notorious for that. Everything happens on one day in the spring. Absolutely everything. So this is it. This is the day. And I would say likely that most people will be able to finish it in a reasonable amount of time.
Okay, great. So, what's reasonable?
I mean, I would say like, if I were a betting gal, most people could probably finish it in under 2.5 hours.
Okay, great.
But I could be wrong. So listen, if you're out there and you're doing the sprint triathlon and I just made you panic, don't worry. Just finish it as you can. We'll be there for you. We've got snacks. We've got some fun aid stations. And it's going to be a good time. Like our goal is to just create like a fun opportunity where people can kind of come and test their limits, figure out like what it's like during those transitions, because transitioning from the pool to the bike to the run is always interesting. And this gives you an idea and some perspective. So maybe it's like a starter option or challenge for somebody who is really interested in, you know, if Nick ever hosts the Tongass Tough Man, maybe this would be their intro and plant that seed. Or if they want to go south and participate in another, either a sprint triathlon or another distance, that would be an option too.
Do you think people who are interested, should they be preparing like ahead of time for this weekend or?
Yes, I mean, you should have been, well, let me, so I think that you can train to whatever your comfort level is. Mm-hmm. I think some people can pull something like this out of their hat, no problem. But I think others would have a hard time. Just depends on your fitness level and where you're at. Also mentally, you know, I think it's intimidating, even though it's a smaller distance. It's not a mini Ironman or anything like that. It is a smaller distance. It's still scary. And you know, people are watching you. So in terms of preparation, you know, if you haven't been training, but you still want to participate, I definitely encourage you to do so. You can, you know, there's obviously areas where you can kind of slow your roll, walk through, you know, the up and over Mount Dewey. There's probably going to be some walkers, and that's not a problem. We're here for you. We'll probably do a time cap. We'll do a reasonable time cap. And preparation would be just making sure you have like proper clothing, so you're not going to come out of the pool and, you know, some people might wear their swimsuits and that's fine, but if you're wet, like making sure you transition into clothes that aren't going to chafe and all that good stuff. So
yeah,
chafing isn't very cool.
No, not even if you have a balm or anything.
No, no, there's no balm in the world that can help you sometimes.
That's right. So, okay. We talked about the pretty much adopt a garden bed, but we also have adopt a garden. Is that
what? It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Well, sorry. So we are not. So WCA is the garden, the Wrangell gardening. I can't remember exact. I'm sorry, because it's not my area and my brain is filled to capacity. But there is the Wrangell community garden, which we do not. That is out at the city park area. Mm-hmm. And we have an agreement with WCA. They manage that area. And I do believe Lexi and Kim are in charge of that site. So,
yeah.
But ours is the Adopt a Garden Bed program. And it's been going on for about 2.5 years. I just launched it. Well, I guess I launched it last year and had some, you know, folks reach out to me right away. And they wanted to adopt their beds. And any beds that need help, oftentimes those folks that already have a bed will kind of co-share another bed. So we do have some areas that could still... they're technically being taken care of, but we could definitely use some more people. So
yeah.
I would encourage you guys, just give me, you know, shoot me an email or give me a call at the pool and I can set you up with a bed.
Okay, cool. And does it cost money?
No, it's totally free. And we also help to supply a little bit of material. So We don't want people planting anything more in those beds because they're street side, and we have to be careful and ensure that vehicles can see. Mm-hmm. And we don't want plants that require a lot of maintenance. So the plants that are currently in the bed, we try to maintain and just manage those. And, you know, for future reference, I often think, like, maintenance, what's that going to cost in maintenance? If somebody doesn't adopt that bed, how are we going to manage it? And so I certainly don't want, like, excess, like, flowers and different things that require a lot of maintenance. Unfortunately, I have to be a downer in that area. Yeah. And we just have to make sure, number one, we can see, and number two, they're not requiring a bunch more maintenance.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So moving on to other outside things, Parks and Rec will be having a playground planning presentation on May 9th, right?
Yeah. Heather, her last name escapes me. Heather with Playground Northwest will be here. She's in Eagle. She's stationed in Eagle River. She's actually been to Wrangell before. We're introduced to her. She attended the Alaska Recreation and Parks Association conference this last September. And we have a relationship with Playgrounds Northwest. They have some great equipment on hand, and she's going to come here at no cost to the city. Oh, wow. And there's no obligation to purchase anything from Playgrounds Northwest. It's simply a opportunity for myself and the community to hear what planning and designing a playground actually looks like, and the actual costs, which include the safety surfacing and the equipment and the shipping and the design plan, and any considerations that you need to work through when you're designing playgrounds, especially when you're designing playgrounds that are inclusive and provide ADA compliance and accessibility. That's really important. And right now we are aware that all of our playgrounds are in need of revitalization. And if I could snap my fingers and have a lot of money, we would do our best to replace those playgrounds. But we're going to try to tackle it one playground at a time.
Okay, cool. So mm-hmm. not necessarily building a whole new playground, but revitalizing the...
Right. So I wouldn't build another playground. It would be replacement of a current playground.
Okay, great. Yeah. And then also I see that there's a playground revitalization sponsorship fund.
There is. Yeah, I launched that a few months ago in the hopes of just engaging our community. You know, we hear a lot of we need this, we need this, we need this. And without community engagement and support, it will go nowhere. You know, oftentimes if we are seeking funding, the funding source requires community matching. I've gone to the assembly, and there are a few assembly members who are actively, you know, helping me pursue, the research for planning and designing and the cost of it, and who are really interested in getting the playground revitalization program launched. So I've got, you know, my goal is to go to local businesses, organizations and generate some funding through donations as well. A lot of individuals have already donated, and in fact I think the revitalization fund right now is at around $9,000. And so, you know, without much footwork on my part, just launching it and us kind of getting the word out, we have already generated some funding. But I can tell you that playgrounds cost a lot of money. And a lot of it is the cost of shipping and the cost of safety surfacing and ADA compliant equipment. So,
yeah. How much money can you say, like ballpark figure?
Well, I think that it's safe to say that it's upwards of $150,000 for a pretty basic playground. And I think that if people are shocked by that, or they want to know where in the heck that money would be going, please take a look at the town hall style meeting that we'll have, the presentation that we'll have. You know, I get a lot of questions about, hey, I've got a really cool piece of playground equipment from Costco. It's $3,000. Let's put that up. But that is not a commercial grade mm-hmm. Piece of equipment. As well, a lot of the costs are from are derived from the safety surfacing and from the shipping and the boundaries. And the equipment that we need is equipment that has to be commercial grade. And again, the ADA compliance. So yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a location and time right now, like, set for the presentation?
The location and time are not set. It's the 9th of May. I'm going to be talking with potential, like, I want to pick the best spot for the community. So I need to carve that out. And I'm hoping to get that information out by Monday of next week.
Okay.
So I'll update the people for okay. sure. And what I want to do, too, is live stream it. It's a Friday. It's May 9th. And if it's sunny, I'm nervous that there's not going to be a lot of people there in attendance. And I get it. So we're going to try to live stream it. And we want to host a question and answer opportunity. So we'll have time to sift through some questions and be able to answer those questions.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So live stream and record.
Yeah. That way we can launch it and folks can have that information and, you know, we can document it as well and get a summary out so folks can have an understanding of it. Because I really do think that people want the playground badly, and we do as well. It's just a matter of getting some understanding out of what an actual playground costs. And if you look around Southeast and you see these new playgrounds popping up, a lot of them had a significant amount of backing in terms of finance and funding and grant funding, and it's a lot of money. The other thing to think about is when you're setting up a new infrastructure or building or whatever it is, whether it's a playground, a swing set, a bench, you have to consider maintenance mm-hmm. and future maintenance costs. And what is that playground going to look like 15, 20 years down the road? Well, if we do the same thing that we've been doing, it's going to look like our current playgrounds. So we have to set aside money, and we have to have preventative maintenance year after year, month after month, week after week. There has to be somebody working on that and checking it and making sure that it's stable, it's quality, and it's checked.
Yeah.
So, and we have to replace some things here and there. So there has to be some consideration for that in our budget, in our future budget. So if we're going to put a $150,000 playground up, what's the future maintenance cost of that?
Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah.
So May 9th.
Sorry, guys. I will definitely get time. I'm kind of batting it around trying to figure out if I should do it after work or slightly before, 4:30. Mm-hmm. So if people do want to, our folks are going upriver, but they want to hit this meeting, like, can we somehow, maybe a noontime meeting? I want to get as many people there or at least live streaming as possible. Just because I know there's so much interest in playgrounds in Wrangell.
Yeah.
And it's important.
Community input is very important.
Community
as
well. Input is important. We want to, if we do establish a funding source and if we do get funding for this playground, my goal would be to have the community pick the equipment, pick the colors, pick the theme. Mm-hmm. So I want to have like a community vote on, do you want slides? Do you want climbing blocks? Do you want swing sets? What kind of swing sets? What color? How can we go about doing that? There's all kinds of themes. There's industry themes. There's wood and timber themes. There's fish themes. There's all kinds of options. And so I want I want this to be a community playground. I certainly want to have a hand in it in terms of trying to get it going, but I want the community to really pick their playground.
Yeah.
And choose those things. And I want them to have an idea of, will this piece cost this amount of money and this piece cost this amount of money and we have this budget, so which one are you going to pick? So that way folks can really be engaged and have a say in what playground we get.
Does this also mean community input is in like which park or which playground to work on first as well?
Yeah, and we've tossed out a survey for that. It will only to a certain extent. So for example, if we can collaborate with, a nonprofit, or if safety surfacing will go better at one playground and make the cost extremely cheap, then we might have to pick a site that might not have been originally voted on for the priority playground, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like we have to choose smart in a smart way. I have to be reasonable. We have to be reasonable. So if we can pick a site that is less expensive, that might be it.
Yeah.
And if we can pick a site that we can collaborate with and get funding through grants, then that might be it. I want to go with what the people say because this is the people's playground, and that's what we want. But we do also have to be strategic about, you know, where we're putting it.
Yeah, I love that, the people's playground.
Yeah, sure. The people's, that's, yeah.
Okay, so also, I noticed that Parks and Rec on Facebook put up, it's important to take care of, you know, the grounds, mm-hmm. you know, that your dogs are walking mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. and they're
yeah
pooping on and all that. So tell us why it's so important to pick up after your dog and trying to prevent your dog from digging in the...
Yeah, and that specific area down at City Hall, we don't think it's from a dog digging. We think it's from a combination of probably just a dog getting tossed a chuck it is my guess. And then the ravens are having a heyday with it just because it's ripped up and now they're going in after it. And maybe there's some bikes going through it. There's all kinds of things happening. And the reason why it's important is it's a shared green space. It's multifunctional. We've got a big activity coming up. Wrangell's 4th of July is huge. And so that lawn is used for not only folks from the community going and picnicking and their kids, toddler size, are running on it. As well, my team has to maintain it. So we're just asking that folks consider, like, wherever they're going, they're considering, like, the fact that if their dog is pooping in an area and they're not picking it up, likely kids are going to come through and step on it and go through it. Adults step on it. It's just unsightly. It's gross. Dog poop is, you know, the bane of our existence. Also, our staff spend quite a bit of time picking up dog waste, which equals money. And so if, you know, in this economic time of money crunching, we're trying to figure out, like, priorities and how we can manage our budget. And so when we're spending hours picking up dog poop, that could have been originally picked up by their owner, it just gets a little bit frustrating. Yeah. And we also, the city also supplies dog bags and bins to throw that dog poop into. So, you know, we just ask that people be considerate, and we get that you don't want us nagging on you all the time. But we hope that you get that we don't want to be picking up your dog's poop. And it's just a kind of a reasonable, like, community. We live in a community. We got to help each other out. You got to come to terms with the fact that you walk your dogs in shared spaces. A lot of people love dogs also, but not everybody does. And so consider that also. Like, people want to take a walk on the trails, and maybe they don't want a dog jumping on them. Maybe they are not real cool about stepping in dog poop. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, living among society, you got to kind of pick and choose what you want to do and how you're going to go about it, and helping us out a little bit. And if I've got our crew managing your dog waste, it doesn't make much sense for us to do that. It's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a dog owner, mm-hmm. and we all make our own, like, there are priorities, I would think, other people.
Yeah, so, for the most part. Dogs are great, and we love them. And we just want to make sure that everybody, not just dog owners, have an enjoyable experience outside. And I'm not asking for something unreasonable. I'm just asking you to have some consideration. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
So we have a little bit more time. There's a shutdown coming up in May mm-hmm. for Parks and Rec. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we have a shutdown coming in up on May 5th, and that will be a full shutdown starting on May 5th. And so that's closure of weight room, cardio equipment, sauna, the pool facility, aquatics, as well as the community center. We are going to tackle our locker rooms. We have aging lockers, and there's actually some pretty dangerous areas of the lockers. They're rusted and they're metal, and so we're going to revamp those in-house. New lockers, just an FYI to the community, I said this last week, are upwards of $70,000, $75,000, and those are the really nice plastic lockers, and we just can't afford that. And so we're going to Bondo, and we ordered specialized paint, and we're going to take some of the locker doors off and make them into turn them into cubbies. And I think they'll look really good afterwards. You know, it's going to be obvious that we bondoed them and painted them, but it's still going to be better than what we've got. We're doing that in-house. I'm guessing myself and Devin and Lane will all be working on that, as well as likely our parks crew. They'll come in, they'll do their rounds, and then they'll come in and help with that project. So we're going to try to bust that out as soon as possible, as well as some grout work and acid washing of the deck. And then we're going to try to kick the doors open to the weight room as soon as possible. We've got a good thing going with the weight room and the cardio and the sauna. So we want to get the people back in there. The pool is going to be closed through July. I know that's disappointing to some people, to a lot of people. And I know some people don't get why we're doing the closure now. And I'd like to explain just a little bit. We pick times for our closures, if we can, during the slowest time. In the summer, believe it or not, the facility does slow down quite a bit. That's why last year we moved to seasonal hours so that we could maximize the time and reduce staffing costs. You kind of have to think a little bit about your budget. You have to think a little bit about your maintenance and preventative maintenance and what you need to do. So we decided that this was the best time for the closure. I don't want to close. No, but none of us want to close, but we've got to do it. We've got some pretty critical things on the list. We've got a chlorination cell replacement that is needed. We purchased that last fiscal year. It's now going to go in this year. We have a heat exchanger that needs to be implemented, and we have an HVAC system that is supposed to be fully automated, but it is not. So we've got to get the quirks worked out of that. We got to tweak it a little bit with some local contractors, hopefully, and then move along. So we've got some major things that need to happen. We also have a lot of administrative duties. We want to look over all of our policies, our rules. We want to work on our POS or our point of sale platform, our website. So we've got a lot of administrative stuff, and day-to-day parks and recreation life does not always allow for those kinds of deep work, whether it's administrative or preventative maintenance. So we need this time. We really do. And we also, our temporary wage budget was reduced. So this is also helpful in that we won't have as many staff on board working. So that'll help us maintain that budget, because that's really important. You know, if we've been given a task of staying within a budget, we have to try to do that. And this will help.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so you said, the rec center will be open as soon as it can be.
As soon as it can be. I hesitate to give specific dates. I'm going to give a timeline of end of May for the, fitness center. So weights, cardio, sauna, showers, and the core area, that will be open. And I want to really emphasize, the work isn't being done by outsiders. The work is being done by us. So when we open, it takes away our ability to continue on with a lot of those tasks. So we want to open as much as we can, but we still have to stay shut down in some ways because we still have to get that work done.
Yeah.
So there's a lot behind it. We're being as transparent as we can. We're giving the community as many updates as we can. And we're available for questions. So, yeah. And our website will have alerts and updates at wranglerec.com. So,
awesome. Well, thank you so much for
coming
in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I always love hanging out at KSTK.
We love having you here too. That was Lucy Robinson, who is the Parks and Rec Director.